Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Tudor, along with my co-host,
Johnny Power.
J. Johnny Johnnyson, yeah, as I've been calling you lately.
Been joking.
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Good week?
Yeah, so far.
So, this week, we have episode 13, just in time for Halloween season. Too bad it's not a Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
But, if we did that, I'd probably have to, like, murder you on air.
No, that would be me murdering. We'd have chainsaws in the room. Would it be juggling chainsaws?
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Die. Kill.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, this week, there's a ton of news that came out of New York Comic Con. We picked some of our favorite stories to talk about. Johnny is going on a little Midwest tour of comic book stores and toy stores with his girlfriend. So we're going to talk about what he's seen so far. He also attended the Ohio Toy and Comic Con put on by Roma Collectibles. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that show. We are going to discuss The Walking Dead season, is it four? Five? Six?
Six.
Season six.
Yeah.
Premiere. And then we are finally going to give away our Infamous Podcast t-shirt. So definitely stay tuned for that. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go for it.
So New York Comic Con. I feel like New York Comic Con has turned into a much bigger deal.
San Diego Comic Con
over the last
East.
Few years. Yeah. And I feel like we actually got more news out of New York than we did San Diego this year.
Yeah.
You know, there was a bunch of Marvel TV news, some DC TV news, a whole bunch of video game stuff, Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot more
people showed up at that show. I mean, you know, obviously people showed up at San Diego and it was a big deal, but with Marvel not showing up at San Diego this year and instead doing the Disney D23 Expo, it kind of was lacking.
What did Marvel really have to announce, though, in July?
They didn't have much.
So there was really no reason for them to do that, and they had a bunch to announce.
I mean, Civil War, we pretty much know who's going to be in Civil War.
Yeah, and I mean, Ant-Man was coming out just weeks after San Diego, so... I think one of the things you and I were both most interested in is Bryan Cranston saying he wants to play Mr. Sinister in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
My thing with that was that I'm sitting there thinking about it last night. I'm like, if they did that, they would have to restart the X-Men franchise.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm ready for that franchise to just start over.
My whole thing with that is, if you're going to restart that franchise, go back and look at the 90s X-Men cartoon that was on Fox.
Yeah.
And use that as a model. That was, some of the best stories were told in a half-hour format, or like over a period of a month, half-hour format.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did it really well, and it wasn't like forced.
Yeah, so like if, you know, I mean, obviously, like, I was younger then, but I do remember that. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was the first, like, it was just like the comic books with the sequential storytelling.
Right.
And it was the first time, like, a cartoon really had, like, story arcs that happened over a number of episodes.
Yeah.
Like, as great as Batman the Animated Series was, we had a few, like, you know, to be continued.
Well, yeah, there was, Batman the Animated Series... They pretty much stuck to the half-hour format.
Yeah, and it was just one self-contained story.
Which was fine. That's why it was so good, because it was, you know, a half-hour of that. But X-Men, because the stories were so arcing, and they were using, like, classic stories like Phoenix and Days of the Future Past, that they were doing four-part, five-part stories, and it was, you know, you had to come back the next week, and you wanted to go back the next week. And really, like, because that was around the time that I started getting back in the comics, I went and found those X-Men stories.
Oh,
I went and bought the trade paperbacks for, like, the Dark Phoenix saga and that, because I was like, I want to know what the book was compared to what the show was.
Right. So, you know, with Cranston...
Cranston would make an excellent Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would even have to, like, tweak his voice or anything. He would just be able to do it.
I'm the mutant who knocks. Yeah. Anyway, no, I think that would be awesome. I'm so ready for them to recast.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. On a whole. Like, I know they have a whole new cast coming in for from X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, and I like the idea of them doing the decades, yeah, like they've been doing. And it's cool. Like, Storm looks cool, yeah,
with the Mohawk.
Mohawk, yeah, and that. And all that's fun. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I would just like to see an ongoing arcing story.
Right.
That actually kind of made sense and didn't have to be put at the end of the trailer, mm-hmm, for the next one.
Yeah.
And I think First Class is probably my favorite X-Men movie.
Agreed.
X-Men 2 is probably my second favorite, and a lot of people don't agree with that, but
I liked X-Men 2. I liked X-Men 1 a lot, just because it proved you could do a team, yeah, superhero movie. Yeah. The problem is the X-Men, they immediately just exploded the number of characters they had. And, like, in X2, they kind of lost the way a little bit. And then the X3 was just...
Well, and the problem that...
Cluster F.
They should have just called it Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because that's what it... I mean, literally, yeah, those movies are Wolverine and the X-Men.
So. Yeah, I mean, I like to joke. There's not... There haven't been, you know, 2 Wolverine movies. There have been 7.
7 Wolverine, you know, movies. Because, yeah, it's true.
It's who they focus on.
Right, and, yeah.
You know, which is fine. It's well documented on the show. My dislike for the character,
right?
But there's so many other interesting X-Men that they could focus on, and you know, again, to bring in Cranston and like the Mr. Sinister storyline,
right?
Like, you get a Kick-Ass Gambit story out of that. You get, you know,
well, you get the whole Cyclops
and Jean Grey and
manipulation, Cable,
and
yeah,
you know, like all that, like, just stems from that,
because Sinister was, yeah, screwing around with Cyclops, yeah, continuously,
always.
Yeah.
So,
and it would tie to the Apocalypse story, mm-hmm, too, because Sinister was an acolyte of,
right,
Apocalypse.
So, yeah, that's huge news. Marvel TV, we got a whole bunch of Jessica Jones announcements. I'm kind of in media blackout mode. I stopped watching trailers after the one where she woke up and smashed the alarm clock.
It looks good, and I showed my girlfriend, mm-hmm, those trailers, and she's actually looking forward to it. She enjoyed Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, she knows who Daredevil is. We all seen the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah.
And I think we actually seen the Ben Affleck movie in the theater.
Yeah.
But she enjoyed Daredevil and still talks about the fight scene in the hallway as being, like, really cool. And that, but I showed her the short trailers, mm-hmm, and she's actually, like, asking me questions about the character and that, and I'm like, I said, we're going to have to watch it, I said, because I'm sure it's not going to be the same character that I read in Alias.
There's, yeah, going to be, I think, elements. It's going to be close. I think that's, like, kind of the baseline for the character, is where, yeah, she is at the beginning of Alias.
Right.
But I think
the whole Avengers tie-in thing, yeah, isn't going to be there.
No.
The thing that she was looking most forward to, because she didn't know anything about who had been cast, I showed her who was playing the Purple Man, yeah, and she's like, oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
We're watching
She's
this.
A David Tennant fan, yeah, so.
Barty Crouch Jr. as Purple Man is just awesome. Yeah. I think he was in something else, too.
Doctor something.
Yeah. I don't know, but anyway. And then we got the Daredevil Season 2 trailer.
Yes.
Which was pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
The suit has had some upgrades and changes. It's much more deeper red.
I like the way they did the Punisher, mm-hmm, thing with,
yeah,
the skull, but it was an X-ray, and right, I'm like, that's kind of cool the way to do him. And yeah, John Bernthal, I think, will make a really good Punisher.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. You know, his run on Walking Dead, like, Shane was definitely one of the more interesting, yeah, characters.
Everything he's been in, he's been really good in.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
He was in The Pacific. I really liked him in
was
that.
Was he in The Pacific?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
And that's what I knew him from first. He was on this, like, just crappy CBS comedy called The Class that had the girl that played Darlene on Roseanne and the guy that plays Mitch on Modern Family.
Oh, okay.
And, like, you know, it was like, I don't know, my wife loved it, and you know,
well, even The Wolf of Wall Street season.
Yeah,
he was a little scene,
just the one scene, much. And it's like, yeah,
yeah, right. Like, yeah,
where's
the handlebar mustache, and I'm like, it actually worked.
Where's Moro John Barenthal?
Yeah, so, and I've met him, and yeah, he was really cool in person, so
And then the other thing with Marvel TV is they announced Madam Mask is going to be showing up on Agent Carter.
Yeah, yeah, I'm curious to see how they'll work her in.
Yeah.
And she's mostly an Iron Man villain.
Yeah.
Like, from the comics, she's mostly an Iron Man villain.
And she's in the Invincible Iron Man number 1 as, like, the villain.
Yeah. So I'm sure they'll tie her into Howard Stark somehow.
Yeah.
And that, which I look forward to him being on that show as much as seeing Peggy and Jarvis.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know, Howard Stark is a fun character to watch.
He is.
When any actor portraying him, too, because they all know how to portray him as kind of arrogant.
Right.
He's more arrogant than Tony.
Oh, totally. Yeah. 100%. Because, well, I mean, he has none of the self-doubt that Tony has.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, because Tony has the daddy issues. Yeah. And, you know, definitely. Howard gave the daddy issues.
Yeah.
So, do you like Agent Carter?
I do.
I think it's a solid show.
Yeah. I liked the character in Captain America. Mm-hmm. And when they announced the show, I was definitely like, you know, she's a decent actress. I haven't seen her in anything else. So
she was in Black Mirror, right? She was
in one episode. Yeah, I did see that episode with one of the Weasley boys.
Yeah, the guy who's, how do you say his name?
He was an Ex Machina, too.
Yeah, he was an Ex Machina in About Time, and he's going to be in The Force Awakens as Admiral Coup or whatever.
You're doing media blackout on.
I know.
I'm kind of doing media blackout, and I kind of spoiled myself at the Disney store the other day playing with Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
Oh.
Yeah. I figured out some stuff.
No. Anyway, no, I like Agent Carter. I really like that they stick to that, like, mid-season, like, eight or nine episodes.
It's nice because, and it's one of those things where if Lost would have done something like that, where they would have focused on a character in their previous timeline, it might have helped that show.
I don't know.
Because Agent Carter...
well, they tried that when they introduced Nikki and Paolo, and then...
Yeah, that was...
But it didn't work because nobody liked those characters.
But Agent
nobody
Carter, wanted to see, I didn't like Nikki and Paolo.
Nobody wanted to see Xerxes on the screen.
But yeah, she...
Not attacking Leonidas.
She definitely is an interesting character to watch.
Yeah. I just think it's all around good show.
Well, and the history of the Marvel Universe is being shown that way. Yeah, and I'm hoping that at some point Michael Douglas might show up on the show as Hank Pym. Or the cast somebody younger.
I mean, they got to jump ahead.
Yeah. Well, pretty significantly, I mean, but you know, CGI,
maybe we'll get to meet Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. And then I guess the other TV kind of Marvel, Disney, you know, trio geekiness. Star Wars Rebels had its premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Did not watch it yet. Gonna wait probably this weekend to check it out.
Yeah, I've seen pictures from it, and it's called The Lost Commanders.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that this will be, like, if you've seen the preview, there was the preview where it showed Commander Wolf, I believe was his name. Mm-hmm. Those, the guys that, the one that worked with Anakin.
Yeah.
And that on the Clone Wars. Yeah. And that, so it's cool. Dede Bradley Baker's coming back as the clone, so... And the clones are older and burly looking, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I liked that group of clones that they had in the Clone Wars. That developed personality and
Think like that's of the Lost episodes they did on Netflix. That was probably one of the best storylines.
Yeah, where they were training and
where they showed the one went rogue because his Order 66 kicked in early.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing what clones didn't follow the Order 66.
Yeah. I think Rebels really, like, knocked it out in the second half of that season.
Yeah, yeah.
The first half, obviously, was just all introduction and
each character had to be introduced in their way.
And then the little two-hour summer episode.
The tease episode is what I call it.
With Ahsoka Tano and Darth Vader and killing... A main character.
Oh, yeah.
Which was surprising.
Yeah. Well, even the finale, I mean,
really
they killed pretty much every Imperial you've seen in the first season from the finale up through that tease. So, yeah.
So
the only one that survived was, I don't even remember his name, I call him Sideburns.
Oh, the agent, whatever.
Callus. That's it, Callus. So,
I like his minifigure for the Lego minifigure.
Yeah. So. I just like the Sideburns. I think he actually sports them pretty well.
He's got the cool helmet, and he's a badass, and you know, he has the weapon that the original Wookiee has.
The bowcasters?
So, yeah. Or... No, the little like bow staff.
Oh, okay.
That's like the guns on either end.
Yeah, okay.
I forget what that character's name is. But he's the design, the original Wookiee design from, you know, before Star Wars. The purple guy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Anyway, and then...
Zeb,
yes, thank you. And then, I guess, in DC TV news, the Penguin is finding his daddy
Yeah, on Gotham, Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. Who played him in Tim Burton's Batman Returns. So,
yeah. Pee Wee Herman. Played the Penguin's dad?
Yeah, he played the Penguin's dad. He was heavily made up.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's an interesting, like, you know, hearkening back to Batman Returns. And I haven't watched any of the season yet, but I'm sure he's going to show up in November.
Did you watch the first season of Gotham?
I have not finished it. I'm 2 episodes behind on the first season.
Okay.
So, and it's on Netflix now, so it's easier to catch up because there's no commercials.
I watched the first 4 episodes and then I had to tap out of that show.
It got better on the second end.
I heard that.
Yeah. It really, and this year's the villains season, I guess you would say, so it's interesting to see what they're going to do that way.
So, like, explain to me, like, the Batman villains being born without Batman. Because, like, the argument has always been that Batman created all these colorful characters.
I don't think he created everybody. Yeah. I think that some of them actually, their psychosis and their, you know, their brains but were like already like that. The but Batman seeing somebody in a costume
kind of flipped the switch. Kind of,
yeah. I mean, obviously on the show, Cat is a cat burglar.
Yeah.
She's already been that for a while, and it's showing that she's living on the streets pretty much.
And is she actually Selina?
She is Selina, but she goes, you know, she uses cat also.
I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
So, I know it's a visual medium podcasting, audio Riddler podcasting.
Works for Gotham PD.
He's a CSI, right?
Yeah, and it makes more sense for him to be, like, working toward becoming a villain.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of crappy stuff that happens to him. He's kind of bullied.
Oh, well,
and that, so it's like that's where that comes in.
Like his dad bullied him,
right? Yeah. Now Joker's the one that throws me off because they haven't confirmed the characters there, but there's a guy who's kind of the Joker of the show.
Yeah,
and that's where I have to finish out the first season.
And I guess
the guy is good. The episode I seen with him, he could be Joker. He could be a good Joker.
I'm surprised they're doing that because DC like is so protective of the movie characters versus the TV characters.
I think they're realizing that it's two different things and it's like it's not as big of a deal for them.
But
they're not like Marvel. It's not like, you know, they're two different universes. It's all one universe.
Yeah.
And DC could have went that way and it would have made more sense. And I kind of hope that with the Flash jumping...
the multiverse.
Yeah, with the multiverse, that maybe we'll see somebody show up on somebody's show.
Yeah.
And I would hope. I mean, that was the cool thing that when they did the San Diego Comic-Con last year, and it was the first season of Flash and the first season of Gotham, they had everybody on stage together.
Oh, okay.
And there was a picture out there, and you can find it, with Stephen Amell, Grant Gustin, and I can't remember the kid's name that plays Bruce, but they're in a picture together, and I'm like, that's cool. That would be, like, kind of cool.
That would be. What would make me like the show more is, or would make me to actually get to watch it, is if, you know, they actually used all of the characters, and they weren't like, well, we can't use Batman because he's in the movies, you know, or because Bruce Wayne's a little kid, right?
He's probably, I'd say, 13, 14, and it's showing why he would become Batman. And it's a lot more than just his parents being killed. His parents are the major factor.
Right.
But it shows him taking an interest in Wayne in the industries, the whole company, and that, like, toward the end of the first season, there's a, like, conspiracy story pretty much that goes on.
Okay.
And it gives Alfred a little bit more
now,
like, focus. And I like Sean Pertwee as Alfred.
Is he like Alfred, like the stodgy butler Alfred? Or is he like Alfred from that Geoff Johns Earth One where he's like an ex-military guy?
Because
I thought, like, I got
Alfred's
impression
always
when I watched
ex-military.
Well, but, like, he was, like, hardcore ex-military. Right. Like,
I don't think that...
I always liked Alfred as, like, he was the spy.
Yeah.
And not, like,
and
the military.
And this Alfred comes off as being the special agent.
Okay.
But they haven't really gone into the history. Like, they kind of did a storyline that ties in the conspiracy with Alfred. Okay. And that he doesn't show it. Like, you know it's there. You can see that there's something more to that character. But he plays the stodgy butler.
Okay.
But it's coming out more, I guess, because he's become the parent of Bruce. And it's him teaching Bruce you know, because obviously in the comic books, Bruce traveled the world, and they can't
do that. Is that going to happen? Do you think he's going to take off?
I think that they might do an episode or two, or maybe a season, where it would show him around the world, but it's more Alfred training him. And I think that eventually they could do that. If but it doesn't make sense for a 14-year-old to be traveling the world alone. But if they jump ahead a couple years or something, they could do it.
Yeah.
And those kids are aging pretty fast.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, we all remember, we already talked about Lost, but remember Walt aged out of that role within, like, a week.
Look at Rick. And Rick's kid. Carl.
Chandler.
Yeah.
Chandler Riggs.
Yeah, Chandler Riggs, I mean, I met the first year the show was on, and he was maybe 4'5", almost 5 foot.
Yeah.
And now he's probably almost as tall as me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird.
Did you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. from last week yet?
Watched the first week, haven't watched the second week.
So the kid who played Lucius in Gladiator?
Yeah.
Shows up.
Okay.
As Baron Von Strucker's kid.
Okay. So they're going to continue.
But like, I mean, you remember how little and tiny he was? Yeah. I mean, he's like, like he's jacked now, and it's like, I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so and then the last bit of news is the Disney 3.0, Disney Infinity 3.0.
Yeah.
They announced,
telling me about this.
They announced like a bunch of new stuff and new minifigures and things like that.
Yeah.
As a fan of the Disney Infinity, just like franchise, I'm really excited for this. Between that and then the Star Wars Battlefront 3 beta and then like Fallout 4, like there's definitely a PS4 in my future.
Yeah.
You know, which I have PS3 right now.
I have no patience for video games, but I'll watch them.
But I was talking to my buddy David last night. I'm like, yeah, there's definitely a PS4 in my future. And like, there's The Last of Us. There's like 10 games that I just need to play. So I can come on here and talk about it.
Have you played The Last of Us the first? Is there a second game coming out, or is it just...
I think there's just a whole bunch of, like, downloadable content. He keeps talking about it, and, like, I don't want to get it for the PS3.
It sounds interesting, but it's like, you know, and I've watched some of the YouTube stuff that they've done with it, and it looks interesting, but, like I said, I have no patience for video games. And really no time for video games. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you like to sleep a little more than I do, so...
Well, yeah, I do that.
Like, everybody in my house will go to sleep, and I'll fire up
and
play for...
Totally makes sense.
4 hours when I should be sleeping.
Sleeping.
So, all right, so, you know, New York Comic Con, it seems like it was a pretty successful show.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get there at some point, maybe next year. Yeah. So, but yeah. All right, cool. So next is you're on vacation this week.
Yeah, on vacation, so it's traveling around to local places. Anything within a 3 to 4 hour drive is reasonable.
I've been calling it Johnny's Midwest Comic Adventure.
Yeah.
Because you and your girlfriend have been going to toy stores, antique stores, comic shops, all over.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite one so far?
We went into Indiana. Since we're in the Cincinnati area, we went to All Yeah Comics and the Kokomo Toy Store on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Kokomo Toy Store, I've always liked. Haven't been there in a couple years. Money and that is a major factor when you go into that store.
Right.
They moved. They used to be out of their garage, and it was like, I think, 1,000 square feet or something. And they're now in a 4,000 square feet area.
Oh wow.
And it's in downtown Kokomo, and it's just awesome.
Cool.
Like, literally, when we walked in the door, they have TVs set up in there, and they had just put on Disney's Robin Hood.
Oh nice.
And we literally, when we cashed out, it was ending.
so you were like there for an hour and a
half. Yeah, I was gonna say an hour and a half. Found a Spider-Man 2099 figure I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So and seen lots of stuff that, yeah, either I have or had, but man, it's just an awesome store. And, you know, Amber is the owner.
Yeah.
She co-owns it with her husband.
Yeah.
But she's like there all the time, and she's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, very much into the stuff. So it's one of those things where we talk to her, and she actually, it's cool at the store when you walk in. There's a thing on the door that tells the history of the building.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
So, like, it was a hotel at one point.
Huh.
And now it's, like, three storefronts.
A haunted hotel?
I don't know. Maybe. No, they said that there's a lot of stuff upstairs that's still there.
Oh, wow.
They're converting it over. I guess they're going to, you know, move in eventually. But, Cool. Yeah, it's a big store. You walk in and you're overwhelmed immediately.
Yeah, you said 4,000 square feet. That's a lot.
And, I mean, it's just rows and rows of old toys, and they have new toys.
Oh, cool.
So it's one of those things where, like, I found some of the new Funko Mystery Minis Horror Series 2.
Nice.
Which, you know, will be showing up at other stores, but they had it.
Speaking of toys, yeah. Did you see the Voltron pop?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then Ant-Man and
Antony. Godzilla. Did you see the Godzilla?
Yeah, I did. So.
But yeah, they have a wall of pops.
Oh, nice.
Like, literally, I'm standing there, like, you know, salivating over Sherlock, and they had the Phantom, and it was like all the new ones that they've been announcing, they had them.
Oh, nice.
So it's a cool store.
For people who aren't, like, from the area, like, what part of Indiana is Kokomo in?
Kokomo's pretty much, like, central. It's about an hour north of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It's a weird area to me because I'm used to Cincinnati where everything's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out in the middle. You're literally driving through cornfields. Nice. And you come up on a town. And downtown, I had never been in downtown because they were outside of downtown.
Right.
And downtown is actually pretty awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, parking is very available.
Yeah.
And so I would say definitely check it out.
Yeah. Where can you find them online? Did you?
They're at KokomoToys.com. On Facebook, they're Kokomo Toys and Collectibles. They're on Instagram at Kokomo Toys. They're on Twitter at Kokomo Toys.
Cool.
So, I mean, we'll put that all in the show.
Yeah, we'll definitely add links to all this. So, yeah
definitely check it out. And, you know, if you heard about it on here, let her know when you go in. So,
because you and I definitely have a Saturday trip out there.
In the very near future. It's a 3-hour drive from here, but yeah.
But, cool. And then you said you went to Aw Yeah Comics in Muncie. The Muncie one, not the Milwaukee one. Or is it
Skokie.
Milwaukee?
Skokie in Illinois. So. And then I think they have just opened one in New York, too.
Okay.
So.
And the Aw Yeah Comics is Franco and Balthazar.
Yeah. It's their company. The one in Muncie is owned by Mark Wade and Christy. I might kill the last name, but it's either Blanc or Blanche.
Yeah.
And
Mark Wade.
If you know comic books, then
the writer of The Flash,
Justice League of America,
Archie.
I mean, you could go down the list. He's done pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
At one point or another. I mean, the guy's been around for as long as I've been reading comics, I think.
Solid.
Yeah.
20, 25
I love,
years.
Like, his run on The Flash is probably one of my favorites. Yeah. He co-owns it. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Christy was there. She was awesome. The assistant manager, Kyle, was there and very customer oriented.
Yeah, you said they were all really friendly.
Really friendly.
Like, for anybody listening, you know, who's ever been to a comic book store, you know that's not always the case.
Yeah.
A lot of times you walk into these stores, and I've been in a couple of those stores this week
that I'm just like, wow, you know.
I'm never coming back here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have stores here in Cincinnati where I won't go back.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say who they are, but I just won't.
Yeah, there's stores that are like, and, you know, I've been to many stores in many states. Mm-hmm. And most of them, you know, are cool. And it's like, but there's ones where I'm like, yeah, I'd go back there.
Yeah.
A 3-hour drive, I'd go to it, you know.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Once every couple of years, whatever.
It's, you know, if I'm on a vacation and I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Type thing. Their building is an old building, too.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome to just look at the buildings are fun to look at, too.
I mean,
see how they convert stuff.
I'm right there with you. Like, whenever I travel, like, especially for work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I always, like, look for, like, my hotel. Like, I always try and get it, like, especially in a big city where it's near a comic book store.
Fun is going in and having people who are fans of the stuff as much as you, because some comic book stores I've been into, they're into some of the stuff, but they're not into all that stuff. Christy, when we were getting ready to leave, was talking to us about the BB-8, the Spiro
BB-8.
She actually has one, and she was telling us how fun it is and that, and she is definitely a fan of Star Wars. She pulled out the card set for the new stuff and was showing us, like, the cards and that. She definitely would be a fun person to work for and that. And Kyle's, like I said, she is fun to work for. So
there's one.
And they have pops, they have comics, they have back issues. They just opened up the second floor of the building this month, I think. And I went up there and checked it out. And they have, like, areas where you can just sit down and chat.
Oh, cool. And add, just, like, a little meetup area.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like a gaming area. There's gaming tables. There's back issues up there. And it was fun. Cool, it was fun. I definitely will go back.
Nice.
Maybe then, go back November 21st.
Well, yeah, let me get to that. So you gave me this little slip of paper with a whole bunch of events coming up at the Muncie All Yeah Comics. This weekend, there's a Squad Warriors signing? Is that how you say that?
Squirriors. Yeah, it's Squirrel Warriors.
Squirrel Warriors. Yeah. By Team Ash. Ash Macazzo? Max, I don't know, and Ashley Witter. They'll be in store signing their book from 2 to 5.
That's on this
Halloween.
Saturday.
Yeah, right? That's this Saturday.
Yeah.
On Halloween, October 31st. If you don't know,
wow. I don't know what to say. It's like wow.
That's the appropriate response because that was just me being trying to be funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, trying and failing. Apologies. October 31st, they have their Halloween Fest. They want you to celebrate. They'll have free comics, candy. They have sales. And you can come dressed up and enter their costume contest. It'll be, in their words, a spooktacular day. November 14th, time to be determined, but Mark Waid will actually be signing all new, all different Avengers. It's a ticketed event, so you've got to either purchase Avengers number 1 or pay $10 to get a ticket. And then, as Johnny said, November 21st, Scotty Young is going to be there signing. Again, time to be determined. But it's also a ticketed event. They're asking everybody buy a copy of his new book, I Hate Fairyland, and a copy of Emerald City of Oz number 1 or a $10 ticket. And then you can bring anything else that you'd like signed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds fun. I mean, I know we always lament here locally, like, our shops don't do a lot of this.
Not a lot of events. And I think with Mark with being him a co-owner, he has a little bit more influence into getting people in there and that. And, but, you know, we've had events here before that are cool to go to and that, but nothing that big. And, like I said, small town America.
Yeah.
It's there. I mean, and it's one of those things where Ball State's there, so it's very available for college students and that, which is cool because it is a college town.
Yeah, very and, cool.
But, I mean, just a fun place.
I mean, the neat thing about the part of the country we're in is 80% of the country is within 500 miles.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, you know, 3-4 hour drive, you can get almost anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, which is why it kind of surprises me that our local shops don't do more stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, this is what makes it fun to be a comic fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where when they told me that Scotty was going to be there, and I've met Scotty a few times and, you know, discovered him through Podcast Land, actually. So it's one of those things where it makes me want to go back in November and just hang out and watch Scotty do his thing.
Just sit there and look at him while he signs papers.
He's just a cool guy. I mean, he's a cool guy, and, you know, he's got a lot to say, so it's fun to listen to.
Yeah, so I think that's one we'll probably definitely try and get to.
Yeah, you can find them at allyeahcomics.com, and then they have, like, toggles for each of the stores. Cool. So I'd be curious to check out the other two eventually, you know, in the future.
Maybe when
I think Art and Franco are based out of the Skokie one, so...
Maybe if we ever go to C2E2, we'll
hit definitely.
That. All right. So, and then the other part of this is this whole thing kicked off last Sunday for you with the toy and the Ohio Toy and Comic Con.
Yeah.
Put on by Roma Collectibles.
Yeah.
You are friends with Aaron, the guy who puts on the show.
I would say like just close acquaintances. Friends, but acquaintances. Yeah. You know.
You bother him online.
We pretty much run into each other at every toy Comic Con around the area.
I think you introduced him to me once.
Yeah, yeah. You know he was at the Cincinnati Expo last year, and I introduced you to him. But yeah, good guys. Roma's, you know, a good company if you want to find stuff. They, I think they started out as G.I. Joe, but they've expanded in that. So, I mean, if you look at their banner. It definitely is a G.I. Joe-esque banner. So
I always remember them because his girlfriend was dressed up as Hellboy one year.
Yeah, she's an awesome cosplayer. She's done Baroness. She was at this show as Black Canary.
Oh, nice.
So she looked awesome. And yeah, she definitely does some cool cosplay. Yeah.
I just remember that Hellboy one because like it was just perfect.
Yeah.
So.
But. Yeah, it was a fun show. It harkens back to, I always tell Brian that when I first got into comics and, you know, cards at one point, there was always small shows here in Cincinnati that were just like, you know, it's a one room in a hotel.
Yeah, one day.
A lot of vendors, one day, cost maybe $2 to $5 to
go in. So you were going up to just some random hotel room and... Johnny,
not like a random hotel room like that you put your card into. And that.
What kind of
weird
I've done
that a few times.
What kind of weird things
we don't talk about those times.
What are you doing on Craigslist?
Yeah, it had that vibe.
Yeah,
it definitely had that vibe. It was, you know, a lot of local guys.
Is this the first year for it?
It's the second year.
Second year.
Didn't go to last year. What? I think I just came back from Disney World and that. But yeah, they're doing it again next year. Same time, he kind of does it when New York Comic Con's going on to give people a little bit of a con if they're not going that way.
Yeah.
And a few of the guys that we know, Mike from Mike's Vintage, Mike Patterson, was there, and Buzz, Ryan.
Yeah.
Buzz know him as Ryan. I know him as Buzz.
Well, I know him as Buzz now. I mean, I knew him as Ryan just because from work.
Yeah.
But,
He does the Hive of Villainy.
Yeah. Which you guys need to check that site out. I think it's just hiveofvillainy.com.
Yeah.
If you're looking for He-Man, DC Direct, Star Wars, Marvel Legends toys, like, he's definitely a great place to go. And we're going to have him on the show in the very near future.
Yeah. Mike does mainly off of Instagram and on Facebook.
Cool.
And he told me he's opening a store close to here. So that I'm looking forward to
that. We'll definitely go check that out.
So those guys were there. The guys from CTS Promotions, which is Columbus Toy Show, were there. A lot of local guys.
Cool.
So it was just a fun little show. There were artists there and there were different people there.
Do you have any, like, iconic, like, comic shops that you haven't been to yet that you want to check out?
Probably, like, Midtown, like New York City.
Midtown's
I would love to check out Midtown. Chicago Graham Crackers.
Yeah.
Which they have, like, 7 or 8 locations, I think. So, they would be kind of cool to check out.
I've been to Midtown. Midtown's great.
There's a lot of stores that have closed down over the years that, like, were ones where I was like, you know, they were on my list and they're not on my list because they're gone.
Yeah.
And that, there's stores that are in Florida that, you know, we're at Disney World.
Like, so I want to go, it's a comic shop.
Yeah, you told me about that.
I'm kind of obsessed with the store because it's attached to, like, a bar that they call the Geekeasy.
Yeah, it's down in Orlando.
Yeah, it's right there. So
and I just didn't get to check it out.
And then,
when you're at Disney, you're at Disney.
Yeah. And then I went to the Silver Snail up in Toronto a couple years ago, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Tons of comics, tons of, like, statues and stuff.
Right.
It was very much like a bigger and cleaner Comics to Games.
Okay.
So,
not which is a cool, games,
it's
cool
dirty,
shop. No,
it's like just like it was immaculate.
Right. It's more like you walk in the ones that are like museums. I've walked.
Yeah,
in
but it
few.
Wasn't like that. Okay. It was still like very inviting. And,
right.
Like, you know. But yeah, no, I definitely want to check out like a comic shop. You know, Graham Crackers is one. Yeah. Like I was in Chicago twice this summer, and I didn't get a chance to go either time. And
well, now you want to check out all comics.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, I definitely want to do that. So, but yeah, like, you know, I've been to Midtown when I lived in New York, obviously. You know,
yeah.
That's where my pull list was. but yeah, you know, like, there's so many of these great, like, stores and locations out there.
Yeah.
You know, definitely write in and let us know what your favorite store is. Or if you have a store that's, you know, within a 3-4 hour drive of Cincinnati, like, we'll definitely come check it out.
Yeah.
You know, neither one of us work on Saturdays, so
most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah. So you know, we're totally excited to see new things. So yeah, it sounds like you had a fun little adventure, and it's not over yet.
No. Probably will go up and check out Bell Book and Comic in Dayton today. I've been there a couple times, but I've been in there like maybe for 15-20 minutes. I want to go in and check their back issues out.
Cool.
And, you know, it's different stuff to check out.
I think if you're ever in the Cincinnati area, like, you need to check out Queen City Comics, which is our, you know, quote-unquote home store.
Comics to Games is a good
Comics
one.
Comics to Games in Covington Kentucky. Is great. Or, I guess,
Florence.
Erlanger.
They're in Florence. Yeah.
And then up in Yellow Springs, Ohio, is Superfly Comics, which is a great shop. You walk in, and it's different from almost any other shop you ever go
into. It's a little store, too, but it's a nice little store, and those guys are very welcoming, too. Yeah. So
those are those are probably my three favorites
around
town.
Those are your three favorite around here, yeah. And there's two Queen City Comics locations, so you either one you go to is kind of fun.
Yeah, and they're different. They're very, very different.
Definitely.
So, all right. Anything else on Johnny's Big Adventure?
No. Johnny's Big Adventure. Nice. I like that. I got to get my bicycle back. That's
you
about
do,
it.
So.
The stars are bright in Texas is what I hear.
Francis has it. So nice callback to Pee-wee there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, kind of the big thing this week is The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Season 6, episode 1.
Didn't have as many viewers as last year's season premiere, I heard.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
I think this is the downslide of that show's popularity.
Season 8, season 9 will be it.
I think the people who were the comic book fans that came in abandoned the show two seasons ago.
Yeah, I've been reading it since number 1, and I still enjoy them both as they're autonomous selves, because I always tell my girlfriend that The Walking Dead TV show is a parallel universe to The Walking Dead comic book. And there's some things that cross over and happen, but...
So,
Did you like...
I actually did. I really enjoyed it, just because of the storytelling aspect.
And, yeah.
I like Ethan Embry. I'm interested to see what happens with his character.
Yeah.
And, the mutinous nature of who he is.
Okay.
That being
Did you finish
said,
the episode?
Or? Yeah, I watched the entire thing.
All right.
That being said, I feel like I could not watch another episode until the mid-season finale in 8 weeks.
Okay.
And be fine. It's very much a tentpole series, right? So the premiere is something big happens.
Yeah.
All right. And then it's a whole bunch of just spinning wheels, meandering around.
Right.
Just nonsense. And then you get to the mid-season finale and something big happens. And then...
But is the book's kind of the same one?
Well... Yes, but the book has this pace that's been set.
Yeah.
And, things happen in every issue.
After the prison, the book kind of, set its own, this is how we're going to do the stories. And, you know, there's always been a build-up and then a finale and then a new story.
That comes out of it.
Yeah.
But, they haven't done that with the TV show. And, I like to joke around that I watch the show just so I can complain about it.
Yeah.
That's not entirely true.
I can see a lot of people doing that that are the fans of the book.
I really like Andrew Lincoln as Rick.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I like Carol. I like Melissa McBride as Carol.
Yeah.
I like Norman Reedus in everything he's ever been in, but as Daryl Dixon.
Really?
I'm just not a fan of the character. He's like a crutch for the show. And you know, at some point, you know, where does he keep getting the bolts for his crossbow? It's the question, he can't always retrieve them.
No, not always.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to guess he probably loses about 20% of them for each attack.
Where do they get the bullets right now?
Well, I know.
Because what...
So. They haven't to that point.
We were having this discussion yesterday. We were in a shop, and she was looking at the trade paperbacks, and I was showing her stuff that's happened and telling her, where they get their bullets from now and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was showing her the governor and when Rick got his hand cut off.
Yeah.
And that's one thing where I think this show is smart in leaving some of that stuff out.
Yeah.
But
we
I'd like
have
to see
to.
Some of it in, too.
But the biggest problem I have with the show is when they hit a creative, downfall, they always go back to chapter and verse from pages taken directly from the comic. Now, it might not be with the cannibals last season and Bob.
Yeah.
Right? That was Dale.
Yeah.
They killed Dale off years ago.
Dale left around the time that Darabont had left.
Was great, but I felt like the scene with Bob was way better.
Yeah.
You know, mainly because, you know, when it's the kicker from the Waterboy, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, is you were as invested as you were in Dale in the book, you were invested in Bob more in the show, too, because,
well, you know, he was a recovering alcoholic.
Was, yeah, and, it was, you know, a damaged character. Like, he was a damaged character before the fall.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the thing, like I told you, I liked Nick on Fear of the Walking Dead because he's a damaged character. And a lot of these characters come off as too perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that's why
that's Daryl.
Carol works.
Like,
Daryl
comes off as like just, well, he was built for this world.
Daryl,
like,
was built for this world because he was a drug addict.
But and, I don't want to see that. Like, that's why Glenn is so interesting. He was a pizza boy.
Yeah. And he even says that in the episode.
I should be delivering pizzas.
And I was like, how awesome is it that they threw that in
I'm
there?
Not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like.
But I think, like, damaged characters,
you know,
like
Dante and
Bob,
Randall are just, like, ruling New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
know, they're the Negans of.
Carol.
Yeah, but Carol.
A very damaged character who's risen to the, you know.
She's right there with Rick and Michonne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a scene with her and Morgan in this episode where he's like, so were you a cop?
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you're watching everybody. And she's supposed to be playing,
like, no, I'm just a mom.
Plain Jane mom. And Morgan picks up on it. Yeah. Which Morgan, I'm liking a lot better than I liked in the comic book.
Yeah, well, in the comics, he
was a lot
never,
more,
he never got over his wife and then what happened to his kid.
Yeah, he never recovered.
He had to, you know.
And I want to see them, you know, like they did the flashbacks in this episode. I want to see them flashback to between the time that he was damaged when Rick found him and when he became...
because Evan's like, hey, where did you learn that before or after? And it's like, there was no answer.
Yeah. So it's like Ninja Morgan.
There's two things I really took away from this episode is, one, I wish the entire series was in black and white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
The flashbacks being done in black and white.
Yeah. After seeing them in color in the previews.
Were fantastic.
Yeah.
Two,
I think that you have to thank Nicotero for that.
Yeah.
I think he really was the one that pushed that.
Yeah.
Just from watching The Talking Dead, it sounded like he had definitely wanted to do something different.
Yeah. And then, two, this point in the books, the Alexandria arc, especially at the beginning,
yeah,
is my favorite arc of the entire series.
So let me throw something out at you that we were talking about when we were watching the episode, and I thought it would have been a cool idea because, and you know, there's going to be a little bit of spoiling here, but not too much.
Yeah.
They find the zombies in a quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her that the Whispers, the storyline right now,
the current story,
the alpha leader has zombies in a parking lot that looks almost exactly like that scene. And I said to her, I said, wouldn't it be cool if instead of them introducing Negan this year, they introduced the Whispers? And I said, what if the Whispers were in that herd?
Yeah.
And they were there the whole time. And that's where at the end of the episode, you hear a horn go off.
Yeah.
They're the ones that set it off.
Maybe.
And
I mean, that could be who the wolves are.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I just, because the Whispers seem more of a threat,
I think,
in the book.
What makes the Whispers terrifying in the book, right?
Yeah.
Is that they have it, like, Rick and his people have established not one, but three communities that are literally safe.
Yeah, they're like, thriving communities.
They're growing, become a
society.
And so what makes the Whispers so terrifying to them is at any moment they can shed their skin and infiltrate.
Right, yeah.
And they've never faced anything like that. I think it would be way too soon to introduce that to the TV show.
I think my problem is because I am a fan that I don't care about Negan coming like this season. I want to see something else.
Yeah.
And the wolves aren't enough for me.
Well, we don't know.
The wolves in the book were like just a one-off.
I mean, they were like the cannibals in the book. I mean, like, you know, they had the whole Terminus thing.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen in
the
book.
Yeah, Terminus didn't happen in the book. That was a group of five people. Yeah.
I felt like Terminus was like a giant failure. You know,
Was overhyped.
Yeah.
Definitely was overhyped.
I didn't... It took too long to get there. And then the payoff was...
Yeah.
Carol MacGyver's everyone out of there.
Which was awesome.
Which was awesome, but it wasn't
Carol
enough.
Carol going to MacGyver everybody out of Alexandria, too.
But
it's like, I see next week a few deaths.
Because when are we going to see the hilltop? You know, like, that's going to
have
to come.
Yeah, that's where I'm curious to see if they do the hilltop and do all that.
But See, I think that's where, like, Fear the Walking Dead would have been more interesting if it was more tied.
If they would have done Fear the Walking Dead, would have been the Alexandria or Hilltop.
They could have shown the Hilltop community and introduced those characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jesus...
Yeah.
In
which they said he's coming this season.
Which is great. Yeah. But, like, that's a character, like, I would love to see fleshed out on the screen.
Yeah.
So...
And if they keep doing the flashbacks like they do, you might see something like that. I liked the flashbacks.
I did. I thought they were very well done. It's one of those things
where it's like, at first I was like, oh boy, here we go with a Lost thing. But the flashbacks made sense for the story.
Well, it tied into exactly what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And like the whole time when they kept saying, well, this is supposed to be a dry run. Never do I ever believe that Rick said, hey, we're going to dry run this.
Right.
Like, he just didn't tell them that we're going to do it because he...
Well, and I
knew
think
what, knew how they were going to react.
It was going to be like a practice run with a few of them,
yeah,
just to see if it would work. But when the truck falls off the cliff and the gate pretty much opens, it's like at that point you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And that, but the Ethan Embry thing with the flashbacks and showing what you know his interaction and his scheming, it was like okay, that's cool.
But I'm really liking Eugene.
Oh yeah.
So. With his interaction with Heath.
Yes.
Heath in the comic is a great character.
Yeah, and that's what soon as he showed up, I'm like, I didn't remember his name.
And I don't
like,
remember the I don't remember the name of the actor playing Heath, but I really liked him. So
yeah, I don't remember him, but he rises
up to the level that
straight
he
out of Compton
yeah.
this year. So
but you know, he's like, I don't have the authority to let you. Like, it's like, are you, like, he sounded like
the
autistic for a second. And like, yeah, your hair game is on.
It feels like Eugene might, like, the way they're writing him is he's playing dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really smart. I mean, they can't deny that he's,
I mean, they've already shown that.
He's manipulated people to the point that they were going to Washington, D.C. for him.
To save him, like, and protect him. And, like, keep him
fighting. So how smart is this guy?
So...
the thing, and I look forward to them acknowledging that. Yeah. So we'll see what happens this season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all in all, it's you know, I'm gonna watch every week.
Yeah, like, you have
like
to.
I you know,
it's one of those things where if you don't, you might miss something.
Right.
But I mean, I know there's people that don't watch the show on a normal basis, and it's like, yeah, okay, but you know, don't be mad when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because Walking Dead is what kind of a zeitgeist right now. So,
like, I know, like, you know, I watch it the next day.
Yeah, yeah, you watch it the next day. So it's like if you see something online, it's not killing you.
But like, I also know to avoid, like, I know who to avoid and where to avoid online.
Most people do now,
and I think, you know, I saw some people who were like on Facebook as the episode was going on, because I actually did try to watch it because we have the Sling TV app.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually I just get it on iTunes the next day. But, like, I was like, you know what? We have this. I might as well try and watch it. And it was, like, so many, like, streaming errors and, like...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, I kept getting this error saying it's only available on your TV.
Yeah. Well, and
motherfucker, I'm watching it on my TV.
For me now, it's one of those things where DVR in it.
Right.
And wait 15 minutes.
Yeah. And
because the whole thing is, and it's at that point now where this show is one of those shows where I'm tired of seeing commercials in it.
Yeah.
And Fear of the Walking Dead was the same way. It's like, we definitely, after the first episode, because the first episode didn't have many commercials.
Yeah, it was limited.
Yeah, limited commercials.
Quote, unquote, air quotes.
The second episode, like, we literally let it play out and watched it and just fast forward.
It's because AMC can get, like, you know, and this is my marketing nerd coming in, like, the fees that, the advertising fees that they can charge for 30 seconds...
Why not? Yeah, they're making money.
I mean, it's only going to be a 43-minute show.
Right. But I don't need to see the AMC commercial for the Halloween season thing 20 times, it felt like.
Yeah.
It was every commercial break.
Yeah.
Every commercial break had that advertisement.
But now it's white noise and you've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to tune in. Whereas, like, if they did it maybe every third commercial break, then it's like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it. Yeah, so I only watched the first episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
Okay.
And if it ends up on Netflix, I'll probably check it out.
My opinion for you, because, you know, I know that you didn't really like it, is just watch the finale.
Yeah.
I mean, the it didn't have any heart to those episodes in between.
Yeah.
The first episode was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The finale was awesome. the other episodes were just
See, I didn't find the premiere all that, like, enticing.
I enjoyed it just for the fact of it's, you know, we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And that, but, like,
the But we knew season... what was coming, yet, like, every death was predictable, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And not doing, like, the surprising thing and, like, not doing, like, not doing what was right for the story.
Yeah.
Is what really bothered me because there were so many interesting stories to tell.
Right.
Yet they stuck with the two spoiled whiny kids.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to, if I want to watch that, like, that's what Scream Queens is for.
You're talking about
Nick
Travis's...
and the sister. And,
well, Nick isn't really, like, a whiny character. Travis's son.
Yeah.
And the
daughter.
Yeah,
and the daughter.
Yeah, and I mean,
if anyone needs to be bitten, it's that daughter. Like, just
she kind of
horrible.
Evolves over the period of time, but like the first episode, it was just she's the good one.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely was one of those things. But I would say, yeah, check out if you can find it. You know,
it'll be on Netflix at some point.
Yeah.
So
I mean, just watch the. It's one where I say you could watch the premiere and the finale, and you wouldn't. It wouldn't hurt you to miss anything in between.
Yeah.
Except Ruben Blades' character, he's probably the badass of the show.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So then comics this week. Not as big a week.
No, thank God.
For both of us. thankfully on our wallets. But you got a good chunk of books.
Yeah,
and you actually got one that I forgot to get that I'm going to pick up.
Faster Than Light,
which
well,
we talked
like
about on
a
previous episode.
A lot of number
episode.
Ones this week, which, you know, I'll check out number ones. I get the Valiant stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Valiant's what brought me back in the
yeah.
comics back in the day. Chewbacca number one. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed number one, which I just... read the little blurb on Preview's website and was like, this sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I have no idea about Assassin's Creed. I know what I've seen from commercials.
Oh, that's the other game
yeah.
that has the PS4 calling as the new Assassin's Creed game because it's actually like a female assassin
and, that's
and her twin
this,
brother.
This one
yeah,
is...
That's why I don't want to read it because I don't want to ruin
right.
the game.
And I don't know if that's going to tie to the game. Yeah. I don't know if this is tying to the game, but it's supposed to take place in modern day. And whatever they do to be initiated... into the
okay.
group, like, flashes back to stories.
Yeah.
What else? Spider-Man 2099, number one, a new number one for
Which,
that. You said you've read already.
I've gone back to reading that book because of you.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, on like you know, like, you're always talking about Spider-Man 2099.
It was a character where, you know, it's like...
He was a cool character.
Back in the 90s, Marvel did the 2099 mm-hmm. line, and... I just, you know, I know who Spider-Man is. I love Spider-Man yeah. from Spider-Man His Amazing Friends mm-hmm. and that. But I never was a reader of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And this was a way to get into Spider-Man without having to read Peter Parker.
See, and I've always read Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's just one of my staples.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
Your Peter Parker Spider-Man is like my Hal Jordan Green Lantern
yeah.
obsession.
So.
Pretty much.
But like, when it comes to Spider-Man, like... You know, I mean, obviously you got me a Ben Reilly figure
yeah.
that you found that
yeah.
I've been after. I'm a big fan of Kane.
Yeah.
I always have been. Like, I like
Which
the
Which I'm
clones.
Surprised they haven't done that as, you know, Marvel's doing the Marvel
well,
Legends.
The,
well, they've done the Scarlet Spider version, but the original
yeah.
Kane that, you know, appeared. And I don't even remember what storyline that was. But he kind of looked cool because he was kind of a villain.
He was an edgier version
yeah.
of Peter, and
right.
you know,
his costume was totally different.
Yeah.
So it was like, you
yeah,
know,
I would
definitely...
love to see that. And then I can have my own little clone saga.
Yeah, I hate Fairyland so, number one.
Yeah,
this
which
week.
Is Scotty Young.
Right.
Which, you know, again on November 21st at All Yeah Comics, go get that signed.
Right.
It was sold out, so I have to find that. I might just buy it digitally.
It was sold out.
So yeah.
Really.
Let's see. What else you got? You got Marvel Zombies number 4, which is Secret Wars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
is it the
Civil
last
War
one?
Number 5? I think they're all 5 issues.
Okay,
5 or 6 because like most of them are ending now.
Yeah.
Fables: The Wolf Among Us, which is a tie-in to the game,
mm-hmm.
And ties into the book. Captain America White number 3, which is this coming out weekly? Because I feel like I've gotten...
I don't know. I feel like... Well, the first one came out, and then it was like last week. It was
yeah.
Like, it was like a month, and then last week.
And then Star Trek Green Lantern number 4, Star Wars Shattered Empire
which
number 3.
Which has one more issue.
Right. Which probably will come out next week because number 2 came out last
right.
week.
Right. That's... It's It is. It's number four. Is
out. Okay. So, and then a new book called Twilight Children.
Yeah, what is that?
I believe it's a Vertigo book.
Okay.
And I'm just picking up the Vertigo's doing new number ones this month.
Okay.
And I always pick up Vertigo number ones because it's how I found Why the Last Man. It's how I found Preacher.
Yeah.
You know, which are awesome books. I mean, The Sandman was the first, like, Vertigo book that I kind of read, which it wasn't Vertigo at that point. And I always check out Vertigo books now. There's been fun stuff, and there's been stuff that's not been fun. So
The Saucer Country. The Vertigo book Saucer Country was really good. I was bummed when that got canceled.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's hit and miss on their books, but I figure, you know, you have to give them a chance.
Yeah. And then obviously Unity, you got an XO. Yeah.
Walking Dead came out this week.
And you didn't read it yet. It was a really interesting issue.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Andrea. There's a lot of Rick.
Okay.
There's a lot of Eugene. There's an awesome, like, probably 3 pages worth of Rick and Michonne, which we haven't had in a long time. So that
but it's building to whatever's going to happen in 150. So, you know, what did you pick up this week?
I got Unity.
Okay.
Number 23. Got Green Lantern, Star Trek crossover. I got Sex Criminals, which jumps to issue 13.
From
number 8. So it's interesting to see what
will happen. They literally jumped the book.
And it says, like, go buy issue 12, you cheap piece of blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's...
That's an interesting thing. I mean, I've seen that done before with.
Well, it's. I think it's a joke. I mean, this book is very tongue in cheek, and I've said before, it's one of my favorites.
Well, is it like it has it jumped ahead? Like
I don't know. Time yet.
Oh, you haven't read it yet. But, okay. Yeah, I can remember Stormwatch doing that years ago. So,
I picked up the new Guardians of the Galaxy number one.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
You know, I mainly got it because I looked at the preview images on Comixology, and it opens with the Thing loving the fact that he's in outer space.
Awesome.
You know, because that's really, I mean, that's what he trained to do.
Yeah, he was going to be an astronaut. You know,
so it's kind of seeing that, and like, I'm just really interested. Like, Peter Quill is now the Emperor of the Spartax Empire, which is directly correlates the end of the old Guardians book. Okay. Kitty Pryde is out there in space. She hates space.
Is she Star-Lord?
Star-Lady? Star-Lady, perhaps. Yeah. It's got Groot.
Rocket's leading the team.
Yeah, well, Rocket totally, like, takes over. Nice. He's, like, he didn't waste any time.
Are they working for Peter, though?
No, they're their own thing. Okay. And then you got Agent Venom out there with Flash Parker, which...
Flash Thompson.
I'm a big fan of Flash, especially, like... post-bully Flash.
Yeah.
You know, like, big Spider-Man fan. Peter Parker is now his buddy. Lost his legs in Iraq. You know, and like, the Venom suit. And then something happened at the end of the last Guardians book that kind of cured the symbiote. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't read it, but definitely go check out
the
last volume. I picked up Uncanny Avengers. Mainly
Deadpool
because,
on the cover.
Deadpool's a part of the Avengers now. Rogue is
leading. Who isn't Deadpool part of?
Well, Rogue is actually the leader of this particular team.
Wow, with Cap on the cover.
Handpicked by Steve Rogers.
Nice.
Johnny Storm is in it. He's a completely, like, he's Johnny Storm, but like, he's got a completely different attitude. Quicksilver's on the team. And there's a great...
Does it seem like there's... seem like there's effects from Secret Wars?
Yeah, so Quicksilver is, you know, no longer the son of Magneto.
Okay.
He and Scarlet Witch are Inhumans.
Okay.
Like, I mean, basically.
Yeah, sure.
They're no longer mutants.
It seems like there's things being reset from Secret Wars. I mean, Johnny and the Thing, obviously we haven't seen Sue or Reed yet.
Yeah, but... Quicksilver, like, he's a much happier character now. He's not all broody. And there's a funny thing where he's traveling around the world to have, like, a drink at sunset with a person in a different time zone.
Nice.
Like, all different time zones.
Okay.
I picked up Spider-Gwen number one, mainly for the kid, so she can read it.
Sure.
And then also for the Scotty Young
cover.
She's
a she, and it's a female character, which, you know, there aren't a lot of female characters.
So I'm just trying to expand her beyond My Little Pony and SpongeBob.
Right, yeah. She's, totally agree.
She's getting Squirrel Girl now.
Okay.
Which is like, whatever, I know next to nothing about the character.
Did you see they're doing a Squirrel Girl Howard the Duck
crossover? Yeah, so, which sounds absurd and awesome. I posted it on the Facebook
page. The character's name is Squirrel Girl. Yeah. It's kind of, sounds absurd anyway.
Got $20.99. I loved this issue. There's an awesome thing that happens at the end that seems like it's going to set the tone. Chewbacca, I read that. That was
beautiful
really
cover.
Good.
Beautiful cover.
The Phil Noto, and this is Jerry Duggan again. He's quickly becoming one of my favorites. The Phil Noto art in
this
book
looks awesome.
Is amazing. And the way he draws Chewie, it's wonderful. I mean, nice. He's got, you know, I can't imagine drawing fur is fun.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be.
And I mean, he looks like he's ripped right off the screen.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you can kind of see I'm going through this. Shattered Empire, number 3 I got. I told you I wasn't going to read these
books.
You've
been reading
them. Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah. Greg Rucka, I couldn't avoid it. And then I got Captain America White, number 3. Batman and Robin Eternal. And then I got Sam Wilson, Captain America, number 1.
Okay.
Mainly just because I wanted to check it out. So with All New, All Different, I don't know what Marvel books I'm going to get. I was reading All New X-Men. I was reading...
coming back.
Right. And I was reading Uncanny X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man 29. Like, I had these books that I was reading, but like, I don't know if I'm going to still keep reading them. So
will you stick with Amazing Spider-Man? You've read that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I loved it.
And Spider-Man 2099, actually.
And I enjoyed that one. I really enjoyed this book. So with the All New, All Different, I'm giving everything a shot.
Sure.
Like, or as much as I can.
You're doing
afford.
Exactly what I talk about.
But
give number ones a try.
Well,
maybe
and
number
I'm doing up to 3.
Well, right.
Like, I'm going to give everything
everybody
up to 3
Everybody has
issues.
Their own thing. For me, it's every, you know, do the first 6 issues. That's that first trade paperback.
Well,
but I pick up first 6
I
issues
I figure if
stuff.
I can get through 3, then I'll want to keep going.
Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers... It's the first Avengers book I've bought.
Really?
In 15 years.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
I've just never been a huge, like, Avengers fan.
Sure.
I love the idea of Rogue leading a team.
Right.
I like what...
Well, she was in the previous incarnation
she's
of
been
Uncanny
in it, yeah.
Avengers.
But, like,
yeah.
her leading the team.
Yeah, it was...
It was Havoc, I think.
Havoc was leading
her,
yeah.
And then the whole thing with the Terrigen affecting mutants.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see where that goes. Yeah, I'm bummed I forgot to pick up Faster Than Light. I need to add that to my
list.
Yeah,
I still haven't read the first one, but, you know.
The first one was great. It was very much like...
You said it was really good.
It was very much like Interstellar meets Battlestar Galactica meets, you know, Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, you
it
know, I
like
also...
A good haul. I mean...
Yeah, I also got The Walking Dead, which I just do digitally.
Sure, yeah.
I'll probably just do I Hate Fairyland digitally until we go to that thing on the 21st, if we do that, where... You know, buy and just get a signed copy. But yeah, so I'm really like, I'm much more. Batman and Robin Eternal.
Is it weekly?
It's weekly.
Okay, so it's like the previous Eternal.
I don't think I'm gonna buy any more individual issues and just wait for the collections.
Okay. Is there a reason why?
I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want like the massive like.
52-week.
Yeah, and I think it's only a 6-month thing.
Oh, okay, so it's half a year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
That's not bad, but I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where it is a problem with collecting comic books, and as everybody knows out there who collects
them... Well,
it's
weekly, it's $2.99 weekly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's
sometimes
a full-size book.
Sometimes it's a financial thing, sometimes it's a space thing. I mean,
but
you can run out of a lot of space real fast with comic books.
Yeah, but I mean, the story is by James... Tynion, the fourth, and
did
Scott
Snyder. Did he
write
the previous one?
They both did the story. Tim Seeley's been scripting it.
Okay.
Which, you know, is great because he's writing Grayson.
Right.
And Dick Grayson is the focus
of
this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard this was more of a Robin-centric.
Yeah, and this has, I mean, it
which
has,
we know, your love of Robin.
It has all three Robins of the first Robin. It's
Dick Grayson,
Dick,
Tim
and Jason.
Jason, okay.
Because Damian's...
Well, yeah, Damian's got his own book.
But Damian's going to show up, I assume. It had Bluebird with, what's her name, Harper Row from the Batman book.
Okay.
So,
She the one with the
She's got mohawk? The mohawk. Okay. Yeah.
I
she's pretty
I don't
cool.
know the character. I haven't read a Batman book since Court of Owls.
Her and Stephanie Brown are roommates.
Oh, okay.
And she's spoiler. And okay. she shows up. I'm not a big fan of the spoiler costume.
Yeah.
Just because you can see her face, which I always thought that was like the cool thing about the spoiler costume is that
it so her was, face is totally exposed?
No, it's just kind of like a little half mask.
Oh, okay.
It's less purple and more black.
It kind of looks more like her, if it's her dad, Clue Master, still?
I don't know. Okay. So, I didn't read Batman Eternal, but it does look very Clue Master.
Like, costume kind of looked like that in the older days.
And then the other cool thing about Batman Eternal is Cassandra Cain makes her new 52 debut.
Okay.
Which I talked about last week. And, like, her costume is very much, you know, from The
is
Legend of
bat?
Korra. No, not yet.
Okay.
Well, not that we know of. So, like, the whole thing, and this is why I'm interested in this, is there's a whole new villain.
Okay.
Spiral's tied into it. It's tied into, Batman was compromised very early on in Robin's career, of Dick Grayson's Robin career. And, like, now with Bruce being amnesiac, like, Dick and Tim and Jason need to solve this mystery as to what Batman did and why this is happening.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, I say I'm going to wait for the trades, but we both know I'm going to buy it every day.
It's one of those things where if it's Robin, I can see you getting it.
But
I'm not like a big fan of a lot of the new 52 stuff. So,
you know, it's my only DC book this week. So, I mean, unless you count the IDW.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where
you know, I get the Green Lantern.
I get the Robin books and the Green Lantern books. And Green Arrow.
It's one of those things where it's just the completest.
Yeah.
More than anything, but you were enjoying Batman and Robin Eternal. You read Batman Eternal. You enjoyed that.
I did not
right?
read Batman
no,
Eternal.
No, okay.
So, because I didn't want to do a weekly book for something that I just wasn't interested
in. Yeah, yeah. And it's rough. Weekly books are rough.
I remember, what was it?
52.
52.
Yeah, 52 was a great story. And that's one where, I was buying it weekly. But then,
well, because
what
that
was
the one year
countdown,
later.
Countdown to Countdown, pretty much. And that one I dropped, like, in the middle of it. And it's just one of those things where if you have solid writers and a solid artist or a couple solid artists on it, then it's going to work out.
I mean,
Scott Snyder is a solid writer and James Tynion's a solid writer, too.
And so
Tim Seeley's been around forever. I mean, Hack Slash, I think, is one of his creations. And that book's pretty fun.
Of the books I've read this week, probably Captain America number one. Was up there. Chewbacca is up there.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man 2099.
We probably should come up with a rating system. Are my top three. Besides Certified Infamous, we should come up with some kind of rating system.
Bag, bury, or burn. So.
Why would you bury them? Just burn them at that point.
No, because like you might want to go look for it later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm excited about where Marvel is going.
Cool.
Okay. You know, I think there is
so how many Marvel books did you actually get?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Eight.
One DC.
One Image.
A Valiant. And IDW.
IDW, DC.
Well, two images because I got
that is an awesome
dead.
Cover on the Star.
Yeah,
Trek,
with
Green
Necron,
Necron and the Enterprise.
Yeah, and there's another one where it looks like what's his name from the Nemo, Nero, the Vulcan guy or the Romulan from the first Star Trek movie.
Nero.
Where it looks like Nero in that position. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, all good stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Looks fun.
So, like I said, I think this is a pretty exciting time right now.
If you're a fan of comics, there's a lot of fun stuff. I'm flipping through the Star Trek Green Lantern and just got to the last page, and there's Back to the Future coming in October. And it's Bob Gale. So it's Bob Gale writing his creation in a comic book, and I'm sold already.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that, and like we know the fix is in because the Cubs are in the baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
And in Back to the Future 2, they won the World Series.
Well, there you go.
So.
We'll see what happens.
I want
Where's my damn
hoverboard? I want my damn hoverboard is what I want. So I want my flying cars. I want the jacket. When I put it on, it adjusts to my size.
Clothes that adjust where to are your those size clothes? By having somebody come up with
Bob
that.
Gale, you failed us.
If anything, I don't need a hoverboard, but I'll take clothes that adjust to my size.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to worry. You know, I can push a button and everything happens. So,
but no, I mean, all in all, I think it's been a really good, it's just been a really good week. I was really excited to sit down and talk to you this week.
Like I said, I've been to a bunch of comic book stores, but, and my back issues have expanded. I'm on a Star Wars hunt right now, so I found a lot of Star Wars books this week.
So, we had this conversation not too long ago. Like, I kind of am at the point where, like, of all the series that I want, I have, like, all the back issues except for a couple really hard-to-find ones.
Right, yeah.
Which I need to go through and, like, actually write down what exactly
I want. Yeah, it would help. Like, you know, especially since I get out a little bit more, I can find those for you.
But, you know, it's just to see, like, all these new books and just like interesting things, like, you know, the Green Lantern, Star Trek, it's not the best story,
but it's fun
and it's different, and you know, it's two things that make sense being put together.
Here's the thing, crossover books for me have always been fun. One of my first like back issue buys when I got back in the comics was Aliens versus Predator, and we've seen where that's gone. And I mean, there's ones that are good and there's ones that are not good,
right?
And there's like what the recent one I'm buying, Aliens Vampirella. And I'm like, it just sounds totally weird, but it's like a vampire alien.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, let's see where they go with it. And it's just, you know, you got to give these books a chance, but it's one of those things where Star Trek Green Lantern, I would say you don't have to buy the issues, just wait for a collected. Yeah. It's the same with Star Trek Planet of the Apes. Great story. Awesome ties to the, you to know, both. And it was the Shatner, Nimoy, Kirk and Spock. It wasn't the Pine Quinto, which is what Star Trek Green Lantern is. But there's ties to Star Trek and Planet of the Apes that happened in the movies and on the show in that book, and it's just a fun read. Yeah, and I would definitely recommend pick that trade up.
Yeah, like even the Star Trek Doctor Who one was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So. The art wasn't solid on it, but the story was very good.
But
and that watching, I think my favorite issue of that was the actual flashback to the Fourth Doctor and Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Teaming up, and it's like, okay, you know, I'd like to see more of that, actually.
I'd like to see the TARDIS just appear on the Enterprise D.
Yeah.
And watch Picard, like, you know, pull the shirt down and step
up. They kind of did that in there, but like I said, the art wasn't solid enough to, it was kind of murky.
Yeah.
The art was kind of murky, but the story's awesome. The Borg and the Cybermen teaming up is kind of like, okay, that's two of the ultimate baddies.
Yeah. So, like, of the books, like, I know you haven't because you've been traveling around. Like,
yeah.
What are you most looking forward to reading?
I want to read I Hate Fairyland.
Yeah.
I really do.
I emailed
Jeff at Queen City and told him, put this in my file because I'm like, I know.
So I got there yesterday about 10 minutes before he closed.
Yeah.
And, like, it was gone.
Image Books, number ones. It's like, unless you, like, you know, some stores don't order heavy.
Right.
I understand why.
Yeah.
You know, being that I've worked at that store off and on for years, I understand why he doesn't. But,
right.
You know, it's one of those ones I want to check out. I'm curious to see what Assassin's Creed is. Since I've never had any real interaction with it.
Yeah, and I love the game. Like, it's one
Shattered
of
Empire, I mean, Shattered Empire and Chewbacca. I'm a Star Wars guy, so yeah, those are definitely wanting to read.
Yeah, Chewbacca was fun and cool, and you know,
just, and The Walking Dead. Yeah. I mean, just because.
Yeah.
So.
Cool, man. All right. Well, we have this shirt that's been hanging out. In my office / studio.
The shirt needs to be released into the wild.
And we want to give it away. And I'll put a I'll post a picture of it on the website. I'm actually wearing, like, I made a red one, which is kind of cool. But then I caught crap for the fact that it kind of washes everything out.
Is red.
But, like, I like it that way. Like, you know, it works. It was, like, it was subtle, but, like, it was, I don't know. And it was
but
really,
the white one is...
Yeah.
It's,
the white one, it really sticks out. In XL.
In XL. So,
but,
So, even if you win it, and you can't wear it, you can give it to somebody to
you
wear.
You can sleep in it, whatever.
Oh, sure.
You know,
you can
do yard work.
Hang
in
it up.
Make a pillow out of it.
Right, yeah. Anyway. There's crafty people out there.
Yeah, lots of crafty people. So we decided we were going to do a trivia contest, and Johnny came up with an awesome story that ties, or awesome question, which ties into what we were doing. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask it here, and then if you go to the show Facebook comment, so the post about, or leave a comment on the post about the show, it'll be pinned to the top.
Yeah.
Episode 13, we're calling this episode Hard Traveling Heroes. So, because Johnny's been traveling with his girlfriend and doing the comic book guy thing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So go check the check it out. And Johnny, what's the trivia question?
So it ties into going to Kokomo this week. I learned something that I didn't know, and I thought it would be a cool trivia question. And, you know, of course, it'll take a little bit of research. There's a fictional animal character, which I won't tell because that'll give it away right away, that his creator was born in Kokomo. And I will say it is a male fictional animal character. So we want to know who is the creator and who is the character. All right. That's pretty much it. I'm not giving any hints because I feel like if I give a hint, it'll be given away right away.
All right.
So whoever gets that, you'll get a t-shirt.
All right. And then we will also put the question on the show notes for the show this week. All right. Well, that's it.
Yep.
Awesome. Good week.
Time to get back on the road.
Yeah, you gotta head out. All right. So as always, we are the Infamous Podcast. We are at infamouspodcast.com, Infamous Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. We got that branding thing down.
Yes.
You know, email us. We wanna hear from you guys. We wanna know what you wanna see more of, what you wanna hear more of.
Right, yeah.
What do you wanna hear less of?
Opinions are appreciated.
We do. You know,
and if you're on iTunes, five-star reviews are appreciated.
Yeah, that'll help us move up. You know, we feel like we love you guys who listen on the weekly, and you know, share some of that love.
Yeah,
and you know, we can keep doing more of this stuff. We're trying to figure out how to make the show sound better, and you know, be a little bit better. So you know,
share with your friends. We want to be a little bit more interactive. So definitely interact with us.
Yeah, because we are excited to do this and excited to talk about this stuff.
Yeah,
24/7, really.
Pretty much.
We have a couple interviews coming up in the next few weeks with a really cool indie creative team. So definitely be on the lookout for that. I'm not gonna share anymore.
Yeah, but this is news to me, actually.
So yeah. anyway, well, great. This has been the Infamous Podcast.
Everybody have a good week.
Oh wait, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Johnny Podorf. Instagram is J. Michael Podorf, and Twitter is Johnny Podorf.
All right, and as always, I'm at Brian Tudor on just about everything. Check out my Deadpool series. I'm killing the Halloween
figures. Yeah, you're killing Halloween characters.
Yeah, so in December, I'm going to kill Star Wars characters.
Okay.
So, anyway. All right, guys, that's it this week. Thank you once again for listening.
Everybody, have a good week.
All right, later.
Thanks.